we celebrate our heritage together, we recognize that giving thanks is indeed holy. And I don't know about your house, but maybe Thanksgiving looks something like this.
Okay, gang, here we go. Gobble, gobble. It's a fine bird. A fine bird indeed. Yes, you are.
Are you talking to the food?
Well, yeah, I guess I was. But it's a fine bird.
Where is everyone?
Hey, let's go. Dinner.
Stop punching me, David. Stop. Dave, stop. Stop.
Settle down. Well, here we are, family. Another year. Happy, healthy. That's good.
Excuse me.
What?
So, before we eat, and I know we don't normally do this, but why don't we go around the table and just say five or six things that we're thankful for this year, okay? What?
You know what? I think I'll start. What I'm thankful for this year is a great family. Credit cards, the house, nice clothes, Neiman Marcus and Nordstrom's. Oh, cars that work. What? What's so funny?
Nothing, nothing. I was just thinking more meaningful things.
Meaningful things.
Kids, what about you? Five or six things. Go ahead. Okay, I'll go. Family, cars, and HDTV. Yeah, babe. Peace on Earth, in the Middle East. I'm thankful for our galaxy. Kids?
Can we eat now?
Come on, guys, we can do this. Five or six things that we're thankful for. I mean, it's not that hard.
Just think of violence, the band Cradle of Filth. Techno, distraction, piracy, and the internet.
Good. Those are good things to be thankful for. Darcy?
Can we eat if I do it?
After David goes.
God. Green beans, red stuff, rolls, mashed potatoes, stuffing.
Well done, David.
Okay. I'm thankful for, like, the fact that God lets us live and breathe, and he gives us beautiful lives and art and relationships, and even though we don't deserve it, he showers his mercy on us year after year. Even though we ignore him, he takes care of us. He loves us. And also the car and the stuff and the whatever.
Amen. Okay, well, let's eat.
Thanksgiving. I was very thankful for this video because this is the one that finally put me over the edge at our church. Those who go to our second service saw that. Our first service people, they didn't see that, but our second service people did. And this is the one when the faces were all so dark that I finally realized I need to figure out what's going wrong. And found out after extensive investigation that it was a software bug in the presentation software we were using, and a mere update made it so that it is now clear. So I'm thankful for that. Giving. Yeah, the people that have been watching this dark stuff that I've been showing will be thankful too. Giving Thanksgiving. What are we thankful for? What are the things that we give thanks for? I think we basically divide it into two categories. There are indeed those things for which we are thankful, and then there are those things for which we aren't thankful. Paul talks about giving thanks in all things, giving thanks literally in all circumstances. And if we took that seriously or literally at all, does that put us in the category of not only giving thanks in our joys and concerns for the cure, but then do we give thanks for the disease as well? It's one thing to give thanks for the life of somebody. It's another thing to be thankful for their death. Where do we draw the line? What things are we thankful for, and how do we approach life? My name, for those who don't know me, is Steve Howland, H-O-W-L-A-N-D, Howland. Now, I reference that because on this Thanksgiving holiday, there is an old ancestor, a John Howland, who came over on the Mayflower, who signed the Mayflower Compact, who was referenced several times in the annals of Governor Bradford and others. And the thing that made John Howland most famous was that in that crossing, he apparently was not too tough. And what I mean by that, after being down in the hold of that ship, rocking through storms for a few weeks, he became rather bold and walked out on the deck. Now, I don't know how long you can spend in the hold of a ship with people throwing up left and right before you're sick and want to get up top no matter what. But he came up top and a wave washed him overboard. Now, in the family history, there are two different stories. In fact, three, really. One is just kind of a variation of the other. One story was that he became tangled in some of the rigging lines and was able to, through the efforts of those on the ship and his own efforts, to crawl back on. Another was that another wave came at that time and washed him back and deposited him on the ship. Anyway, he lived through the passage and lived to a fairly ripe old age. And I have always given thanks for that second wave, the one that put him back. That is, until some years ago, when one of my dad's cousins, who started doing some investigation. In our family, we had always known that we were related to John Howland. We knew that there were three brothers that came over, and that one of the lines apparently had gone extinct, and the other line was the line of Hetty Howland Green. I don't know if people know who she is. They wrote a book about her, the day they shook the plum tree. 100 years ago, she was considered the richest woman in the world. She was an incredibly miserly, nasty person. She was nicknamed the Witch of Wall Street. And when she died, passed on her inheritance to her children, and when they died, that was passed on further. And as we got none of that, we knew we weren't related to that line of Howlands. And that left, in our belief, John's line. After some investigation, though, my cousin found out that, no, indeed, we were probably related to Arthur Howland, his brother, who came over some 5, 10, 15 years later. The records seem to be a little bit unclear. And you know what? I never had to give thanks for that second wave. I wasn't in that line. And yet, when you start realizing what giving thanks means, you recognize it's a bit broader perspective. For I'm sure John's brothers would have never come over if their brother had perished on the Mayflower. And I wouldn't be here. In fact, I probably wouldn't be. And so giving thanks even when you don't need to give thanks or have to give thanks, appears to me to be a dimension of thanksgiving. Each day, malaria takes the lives of about as many people as we lost in 9/11 in sub-Saharan Africa alone, which is where most of those cases are. Your insert tells you that every 30 seconds, a child dies of malaria in sub-Saharan Africa. That's an amazing amount of people. And for the most part, we're not even aware of it. And if anybody should be aware of it, it should be the church that is built on the notion of caring and compassion and reaching out. It took some reporter by the name of Riley in Sports Illustrated to write an article. He wrote that in May of 2006, and it led to quite a response, for he challenged anybody who had ever cut down a net on the basketball court, anyone who had ever jumped over a net on the tennis court, anyone who had ever worn a hairnet, or anyone who had ever surfed the net, or anyone who had ever envisioned Angelina Jolie in fishnets, to send in $10 to buy a net and save a life. I used to be a lifeguard at a swimming pool, did that for 10 years or more, and there was one, maybe two occasions where I actually saved somebody's life. The feeling of saving somebody's life is a profound feeling. Feeling like, my God, I made a difference. I truly did something. For $10, each one of us can save a life. How simple, how easy, how doable. Can I give thanks for malaria? I don't know. I don't know if my mind can get around that and go there, but I can give thanks that the secular magazine of Sports Illustrated led the way, and I can give thanks that the United Methodist Church very quickly partnered with that effort and brought in others to try to eliminate the devastation of that disease in sub-Saharan Africa. Figuring out how life is intertwined is a very difficult thing. It just isn't easy to sort out. Recently, I was discussing and counseling with a woman who was getting remarried. Her first husband had died, and the issues of how her new partner was going to relate to her children was a concern to her. They knew they didn't want him to take the place of their biological father, and yet now he was going to be their stepfather, or maybe more than that. She felt uncomfortable about the whole notion of him replacing her first husband, but somehow was trying to figure that out. And you come to the conclusion that, can you give thanks for the death of the first husband? And there's a difference between being thankful for a death or having an attitude of thankfulness of all of life, even in the midst of death. And that helped her and set her free, that it wasn't a competition of loving the old husband versus loving the new husband. That wasn't an issue. It was getting to the point where she recognized that in the unfortunate events, other comfort, care, and love took place. So often that's the case where we find suffering, hardship, and we're confronted with the whole dimension of, can we give thanks for life? In all its complexity, in all its sorrow, and in all its joy. Giving thanks. Too often we make thanksgiving into a list instead of cultivating it as an attitude, as a way of living life. Paul tells us to give thanks in all circumstances.